What's up, Internet, and welcome to Radio Radar Episode 92, a short episode because we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff next week at E3. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Henry Gilbert.
Sophia Tong.
And joining us for the first time...
Ashley Reed.
Ashley, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Welcome. I'm so excited. There's like an even amount of girls and boys in this room.
It's making us uncomfortable. Henry and I are really not digging it, I can tell you that.
This is different from probably every single other video game podcast out there.
Except for the ones that are
that
exclusively
are like
women.
They're all women, yes. Yeah.
So tell the audience about yourself.
Well, I used to freelance for Games Radar until fairly recently, and I just came down the coast from Oregon. Living in San Francisco now, and I'm a full-time writer. I'm super excited to be on the team.
Good.
Yeah. We're happy to have you.
Yeah. And some of the top, we if you listen to the podcast, we will often say like, oh, this top seven was written by Ashley, and they had a very good quality about them because you had some really cool ideas for top sevens.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah, you totally got our style like better than most, like earlier than most freelancers get it. Like I would say, and it kind of sucks like losing a good freelancer in you by hiring
by
you. Yeah, but
oh darn, you just write for us full time now.
Yeah,
it's painful, but. Welcome to the team, and you're going to be at E3, and it's your first E3, right?
Exactly. I'm
trial by fire.
Exactly. I was full of fear-tissipation, fear-citement, something like that.
It'll be a good show.
Yeah,
it will be.
1 week in and immediately thrown into E3. That's pretty
isn't that how Sophia? Isn't that your origin story as well?
Yeah, I started at GameSpot 2 weeks before E3, but I actually took a week off because I already had a wedding to go to. So I started for a week, and then I left. People thought I quit, and then I flew into LA like from Canada, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're back! So I guess you still work here." I'm like, "Yeah," and I missed all the E3 meetings leading up to the show. So I show up, I'm like, "Where do I go? What's my schedule? What do I do?" And yeah, so that's how I learned.
That's terrifying.
That's even more like she's trial by fire after like 50 meetings.
I know. I'm like, you're ready, right? You got everything? Because I went to my first meeting and I see like Homer was like one of the guys who's always on camera. He brings in a mic with a camera guy. I'm like, why are you here? He's like, oh, you're doing this interview. I'm like, with who? The person you're talking to? I'm like, I was just like deer in headlights. What do you want me to say? He's like, well, introduce yourself and then introduce the person you're talking to.
Ask questions about the game, I guess.
I was completely freaked out because I hadn't really watched any of GameSpot's interviews and it didn't really occur to me they wanted me to do camera stuff because I'm like, oh, they're doing a stage show. I'm not a part of that. Mm-hmm. Whoops. And they would air those in between segments and everyone's like, nice interview. I'm like, oh, God. I hope it's lost to like the internet somewhere forever.
Wow. You know, my first E3, I was almost 3 years at GamesRadar before I got to go because, like, for the longest time, they only sent, like, 5 people there or something. Like, though,
we're sending about 6.
Yeah.
Seven.
But they would send 5, but it was the 5 people in charge of the site, and you were you were not at that point.
Yeah, including the EIC, who long. Never really written anything. But, but yeah, they sent us all out there. They sent out a lot more of us in 2011, and that was my first one. But that was frustrating because I dreamed of going to E3, but I actually didn't get one appointment. Like, they just wanted somebody who could handle the production side of things there to work with the production people on this side. And so, like, I was just – that was when we had a future booth on the show floor, and it was the two-story booth. And so I was just locked up on the second story, just like, post.
I freelanced at that conference, and I remember walking up to the booth and looking at the giant booth, and you were probably – right above my head, grumpily typing on a computer.
Yes. It was nice. On Wednesday, I finally got to, like, they gave me a couple hours to go to some booths, but that I was mostly just chained to a computer the whole time, as were, like, I was right next to the people from the video team editing videos feverishly,
right,
like, 12 hours straight.
Yeah, I went to E3 with you your first full year at E3, and you were... Mm-hmm. I remember being like, hey, we're going to E3, and you're like, my experience at E3 has been nothing but garbage because I went to E3 and it was terrible, and I'm like, it's going to be great and you're going to love it, and you did.
No, yeah, it was much better the next year when I got to actually go to appointments and even got to go to what may be the final Nintendo E3 press conference. Mm-hmm. It was good.
How many E3s have you been to, Sophia?
This would be my 7th, I think.
Was the first year, were they in Santa Monica or were they?
No, I missed that year. So my first year was 2006 and I wasn't working for an outlet then. And that was great because I got to see it. It was amazing. It was like, oh my God, everything was super flashy. And
it was back in LA?
Yeah, it was back at the LA Convention Center. Kensha Hall was still there. That was still a thing. And I didn't have to work. So, I mean, I wrote for other sites just for fun, and I was still trying to scramble to my appointments, but it was super fun. And then I skipped the Santa Monica one, and when I came back for the 2008 one, it was the very business-like booths that year. Yeah.
But it was still in L.A., right?
It was still in L.A. I mean, I actually liked it because it seemed really efficient.
I think that was my first year.
Oh, really? Where it was just like you go to this kiosk.
There was a show floor.
Yeah,
but it was like – well, there was a show floor that was like half indie games. And then the kiosks were – like everybody had – like THQ just had a meeting room.
Yeah.
And they had – instead of having like a booth on the floor, they just had a room where you would go and you'd come in. Yeah. It was very quiet.
It's all very business-like.
Then the year after that, they're like, fuck it. Old school E3 is back.
And then that was insane again. And you're running around like trying to get through lines and hordes of people, and people were running. I almost got trampled when like they opened the doors and everyone's going to Nintendo.
Oh man,
and I'm just like, somebody actually ran into me. I'm like, I think I might get stomped.
It's like the running of the bulls with the Nintendo fans. Like once the day opens and like, I think, I mean,
these are men in suits. I don't know what they were doing running.
I think there are definitely like Sony and Microsoft fans per se who also want to quickly get to the booth and be first in line to play something. But it's not the same as like, especially if there's a new Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
Like if they just announced a new Zelda, like Wind Waker's playable for the first time, or Twilight Princess, that had the craziest line I've heard of. I always like on those mornings when if we have an exhibitor badge, I can just like walk right past them like, you guys.
Oh, still in here.
Have fun waiting in line, losers. Like.
Although Comic-Con clamped down on that when you have an exhibitor badge. Yeah. You go in early to like shop.
Comic-Con's even weirder where it's like if you have an exhibitor badge, even if you get in line normally, they still shoot you dirty glares.
Like, get up. They're like, get out.
At the Mattel booth, which has like the most insane lines on exhibitor night. Or Hasbro, that's it. Hasbro's the craziest. That the guy... I didn't try to line up last year, but the year before, a guy was just like, the guard at the booth was saying like, if you're an exhibitor, go to your booth. We're not letting you line up. And
like, if you really want to let you stand there. I'm like, what if my booth is right over there? They're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
They it's weird because it's like at E3, they won't let you in if you don't have a certain badge. At Comic-Con, the guards hate you.
Yeah,
they don't like anything about you.
Well, I mean, after you're there for 4 days and the amount of people and sweaty people that are next to you, yeah, I wouldn't like people either. I typically don't after Comic-Con.
No.
But anyway, E3 is a little less sweaty, not as bad as Comic-Con.
Comic-Con is you're basically in an ocean of sweat. This is more, and I'm just trying to prepare you for it, it's more like a nice fog of sweat. Instead of, you're not swimming through it, but you're
so
always
many dudes. There's still so
like
many.
You'll just everywhere.
A nice bouquet.
You'll breathe it in. It'll come out your ears like an old cartoon character when they get mad.
Well, and Comic-Con is like fluorescently lit, while E3 is kind of dark. So
yeah. But you'll love it, and we're going to talk about the things we're looking forward to. We're doing a short episode today. Last week we were planning on doing a short episode to predict E3, but it ended up being a normal length episode. But this week we're just going to, because we're going to be doing a show Monday night and Tuesday night, today we're just going to go over the question of the week winners from last week, probably talk about Tomodachi Life a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
And then we're going to dig into kind of what we want to see this year at E3. Kind of a more relaxed, chill. If I had my laptop here, I'd be playing smooth jazz. I wouldn't. I didn't think that far ahead.
Are you going to add some smooth jazz later?
I don't have that much time to edit a podcast.
Yeah,
I'll get our new intern to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
you should know how to edit podcasts.
Yeah,
it's like
cute
smooth jazz.
Yeah, just right now, if you're listening, smooth jazz. And if there's no smooth jazz playing, then I forgot to send it to him, which is probably going to happen. But so last week's question of the week was, what's an E3 prediction that you don't actually expect to happen? Like, what's a totally ridiculous one? And the winners all got code for Wildstar. Ooh. I don't have all the winners here in front of me, but if you don't have a code for Wildstar already, you are not going to be getting one because they've all already been sent out. You don't even have to email us like, hey, I heard my name on the podcast. You've already won and you have a code for Wildstar, and you can join the – crap, what's the name of the server? Oh, no, I can't remember.
Sorry.
There's a server. I think it's War something. Is it War something?
I thought it started with an E. No?
E?
A P?
P?
Path?
War something?
Oh, God.
I think it's War something.
Sorry.
Don't look at me.
There's a – if it's not War something, oh, we made a guild. We made a guild. We Ryan and I spent like an hour trying to think of a guild name, and we realized that everything we were thinking of was either Taken, not very interesting, or minorly offensive.
Okay.
So we decided that we needed to make something inoffensive, so the name of our guild is actually Inoffensive, which I'm a huge fan of, and I'm going to use that in every MMO from now on. So yeah, you can, if you see Guild Inoffensive on maybe War something, bother Ryan on Twitter. Is it Ryan Talgenic on Twitter?
I think it's R. Talgenic. Tell John Ick.
War something?
Google it.
Just Google Ryan Talgenic Twitter War something Wildstar and you will find him. But let's read through some of the winners from last week. I'm going to pass it around. Everyone's going to get to read. Swirly Green Logo. Shortly after Gabe Newell announces Half-Life 3 for the Wii U, Dr. Dre will come out and perform the theme song for Left 4 Dead 3, appearing on the same platform, which will also serve as the first official single off Detox. You got a long one, Reed Henry. Right underneath it. You got a long, long one.
Oh, man. Okay. Tidge Pot. Hi. First post here. Long time listener.
Woo.
So I've been sitting on this leak for a while now and several others, and I'm getting antsy. As many of you know, Rainbow Six Patriots was announced a few years ago, but then disappeared into nothingness. Late last year, it was taken back to the drawing board to be overhauled and will be unveiled at E3 this year as a completely new game.
So far, for the record, I think all of that is actually true.
This could be the big Ubisoft end of
this could be
press
it.
Conference reveal. Last I heard, it'll have a new name and will be based entirely around hostage situations. There will be a slew There will be a slew of new nationalities to play with, to play as, with a number of toys to use to protect the generally four-story, I think, building you're holding as a terrorist.
Oh, and you're playing as a terrorist?
You're holding the hostages.
Oh, God.
And on the other end, you'll get to play as the SWAT team that has to rescue the other team's victims. It's pretty much Ubisoft's attempt to throw its hat into the Battlefield Call of Duty ring. I'll leave it at that. Now for my totally...
I like how Henry read it with so much sass, but that's the amount of sass that I imagine. Like, I'm going to just leave that there for you.
That all sounds very believable. But now for my totally untrue E3 prediction. Nintendo has realized that in order to keep up with the sales of the PS4, it has decided to partner with a Western developer to help move its games to the current decade. That developer, ZeniMax Studios.
Ooh.
Weird, huh? In a way, I see them as the antithesis of Nintendo, a company that is generous with its content, specializes in open-world games like Bethesda's Elder Scrolls and Fallout, but is jumping into online games headfirst with Elder Scrolls Online and Battlecry. This will, of course, lead to a Pokemon MMO, and it won't stop there. Why can't the Mushroom Kingdom be an open world to traverse, much like Kingdom of Hyrule, or better yet, Skyrim? I'm tingly in my giblets thinking about it. Ow, now my heart hurts because it'll never happen.
Oh, sad.
I think that Rainbow Six one is 100% true.
It might be, though. They do say that you can play as different nationalities, and we know that's not true. You can play as white Americans.
That would be foolish.
I don't know. Ubisoft's more open-minded than...
White Americans or a French guy.
French Canadians, yeah.
Okay. So.
There will be one French guy option. Okay, and I've seen this name before. Is it Cinosaur or Sinosaur?
Cinosaur, I think.
Cinosaur. Okay, Cinosaur says, craziest E3 prediction. Nintendo announces that the Wii U sold 200 million units with the release of the Mario Kart 8. Wow, I'm totally messing this up.
It's fine.
With the release of Mario Kart 8. Everyone throws their Xbox Ones and PS4s away because the Wii U is the new god.
Also, I looked it up. It's Exile is the name of the server, not War something.
See, I knew it was start with an E.
Yeah, so
and honestly, great. I can't even... I'm like, well, War... Oh, wait, hold on.
Or did you just text Ryan?
Hold on, wait. We went Warbringer as Exile. Where Exile's on the Warbringer server. Okay. Yes! War something!
You were kind of right.
You're mostly right. Okay, from Antioch. One game, Final Fantasy Tactics 2. Not Advance, insert number here. No magic books, Evilus. I would love a prequel centered around the Waygraph Fools and the Deadmen. I'm probably mispronouncing that. I want this more than I want Half-Life 3. It will never happen with the creator working on Unsung Story.
No, it won't.
Yeah, with Yasunori Mitsuda over there. That's it. No, wait, not Yasunori Mitsuda. Yeah.
Did you get it wrong? People are going to correct you.
Yeah.
I know.
And we're not going to read it because it'll be E3 and we don't have time.
We'll correct it.
It's Matsuda-san, I think.
And, is that the last one? Yeah, okay, that was the last one. Other people won. You've been... Check your inbox on Games Radar, and you can play... WildStar on Warbringer as Exile and send a message to Samick, which is Ryan's name.
The guild is called Inoffensive.
It's called Inoffensive. And yeah, congratulations on your prize. But let's talk about E3. Let's talk about the question of the week is, what are you looking forward to seeing at E3? But we don't have to do anything formal about it. Let's just talk about it. In the comments, let us know what you're going to be looking forward to. We're not going to read them on the air because by the time we actually get to these, E3 will already have been started and your expectations will either have happened or not.
Yeah. I mean, every year I'm always waiting for Square Enix to say something about the new Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm. And since they teased both, I'm sure they'll probably have a
They literally said they're not going to have Final Fantasy 15 there. Like, they had a
literally lied all the time.
I'm sure they've said that before, and they might...
They might have, like, a 30-second trailer.
There might be a trailer during Sony's press conference, and they're like, well, we meant it wasn't playable at E3. We didn't say it wouldn't be shown at Sony's
press
conference.
I mean, I know it's definitely not playable, that they don't have anything playable there, but, you know, just to see how it's coming along, what it might look like.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a new Crystal Dynamics game going to be there, too? Didn't that get announced?
Yeah. Oh. But what will it be?
Tomb Raider 2?
I guess Tomb Raider 2 is the obvious one, yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for a new Tomb Raider. And The Last Guardian. I feel like...
This is it. This is the run.
This is the year. If not, TGS. Like, this has to happen, right?
They would have just outright canceled it. Yeah. They should have just said, no, it's canceled. But they haven't canceled.
I just thought of the new dystopian situation for The Last Guardian. Mm. It's going to end up going, I am alive. Where they're going to... It's still going to get released, but it's going to be a super mediocre downloadable game that they just kind of push out.
Oh,
it is it's 20% the size it should have been.
Yeah.
Just like,
there's actually... That griffin, just not there anymore. It's just a kid walking around a castle. It's Ico without the companion.
Well, I'm sure we'll at least get a new state... If it's not at their press conference, we'll get a new statement this year. Like, at the very least, Jeff Keighley, every time he interviews Shuhei Ishida from Sony, he's like, so, The Last Guardian, I mean, come on, what's up? Like, the last time he asked him that was at the end of last year during the PlayStation 4 reveal event thing. Mm-hmm. And they said, so, what's going on with The Last Guardian? And all Ishida said was like, well, I have played it. It's still happening. And they said... Keighley asked, what controller was it? A PS3 or a PS4 in your hand? And he's like, I don't remember.
What you will about Keighley and the Lord of Mountain Dew and Doritos, but I love the fact that it's like he's the only person with enough clout to constantly get in front of people like Reggie, and when he's there, he's just like, hey, Reggie, it was great talking to you. By the way, you're wearing a Metroid pin. When are we getting a new Metroid? Where's Sonic? Where's the Sonic in Mario Kart? He just starts like rattling off all of the questions people want him to ask. He never gets answers, but he will push 100% of the time.
Yes, tough questions.
In video game terms, saying, where's the last Guardian is about the toughest question you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always excited to see what Nintendo's going to do. A lot of times they disappoint me, but...
they have like a 50-50 record.
I'd say 50-50,
they had that show like 3 years ago that was basically like, hey, new Metroid, new Donkey Kong, new Mario, new Zelda.
New Kirby.
New
also.
Kirby. Goodbye! And like,
that was 2009. And
that was the same year that Sony and Microsoft both were like, hey, so we have the Kinect and the Move. And Nintendo was like, we're past that shit. Here's what we got.
That was a pretty awesome year, yeah. But last year's was good. Like Smash Brothers was awesome. Finally seeing Smash Brothers and Super Mario 3D World, it actually like didn't show as good as it should have.
No, it didn't.
The game ended up being good, really good. But there wasn't a ton last year. But this year, like I'm really hoping. There was there's a leaked image out there which may or may not be real, but it had a list of what'll be at the Nintendo booth, and I saw Dragon Quest VII for 3DS was on there, and I really, really want that to be true. That is so...
I love that your like most anticipated game is a handheld port of a game that came to America, that came out like 20 years ago and came to the 3DS 4 years ago.
Well, can't... It,
or 2 years ago.
It was 13 years ago in America, not 20. Like it sure. But there was that Pokken Fighters, like that totally sounds like a tech.
I actually have no idea where that dock came from.
Yeah, it. I mean, it could be all fake. Who knows? But and then that Mario Maker
totally
image.
True.
Yeah,
and then they also said that like NFC, like this is the they're going to really talk about NFC this year. The their own Skylanders thing.
I'm putting all my chips into NFC. I'm going to say my theory again on the podcast because if I'm right, I'm really happy, and I have zero insider information before anybody thinks I have anything, or this is all wrong. But Nintendo is going to announce that every single game that they make from now on, every major franchise game, is going to have minor NFC functionality, and it's all going to funnel into each other. But the main game is going to be something called Nintendo Universe or something like that, and that's going to be their Skylanders. And they're going to be like, oh, do you want a new cool costume slash ability in Nintendo Universe? Good news, there's a new Kirby game coming out, and if you beat it and you buy the NFC toy, you transfer over the information to this game, and it's basically like the Nintendo Skylanders MMO. Yeah. It's everything everybody ever wanted, and all of their, like, every game they have is a funnel all leading to it.
I think
that's
that,
their Hail Mary.
Like, Nintendo and Square, like, they have these great characters. They should have done this toy merchandising thing.
Nintendo knows that they screwed up, and they're going to go deeper into it than any, like, they're going to make Skylanders and Disney Universe look. Disney Infinity. They're going to make them look, like they're being careful with it. Like Nintendo is going to go all in.
Well, because the thing with
or not at all.
The thing
this is all wrong.
Skylanders and Disney Infinity can only talk to their own games, which are just annual releases. Like Activision doesn't make more games that can talk to Skylanders. Same with Disney, but Nintendo can make it so just every Wii U first party release has some sort of communication.
And they also have the benefit of Nintendo's first party releases are almost always good. Or above. Like, it's not like if another company did it and they had it like, oh, we're tying it into this new franchise, and then that franchise sucks, but you have to buy it if you want this. Nintendo's the only one where it's like, the worst Nintendo published game of the last, like, year is probably Yoshi's New Island, which I probably would have played through if I had a toy sitting there telling me I was supposed to.
Yeah. In the non-Nintendo thing, like Sony, I want to see details on PlayStation Now. I really want to, like, I'm really excited for that, but I wonder if they've been very, like, slow to talk about it just because they're waiting for a big explosion of it. Like, I know the beta's been going on, like, a closed beta of it, and I think it would just be this awesome moment at their press conference if they're just like, PlayStation Now is ready.
They said it was going to. I think they've been saying all along that it was going to go wide in June.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen it at events. Like, I've seen them, like, show it off at events.
Right.
So it's going. And it's just the thing that I miss on the PS4 is the ability to play. Like, the PlayStation 3, the PSN, has such a great library of old PlayStation 1 and 2 games that you can just play. And since the PS4 can't emulate it naturally, all those games are just stuck there. Like, I would hope that PlayStation Now would just take all my purchases, just like how I can play all these PS1 games on the Vita, that you could do the same thing with PS4 via PS Now. Like, I'm hoping to see that. And then
we talked about this before. It really feels like it wouldn't be. I mean, obviously they could just not do it and say they couldn't, but it doesn't feel like it would be impossible for Sony to say, yeah, the PlayStation 4 can't play PlayStation 3 games, obviously. But it can read them to know that it's a real disc. So if you pop Uncharted 2 in your PS4, you can stream Uncharted 2 for free.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
It would be brilliant.
That'd be amazing.
And it wouldn't be like some kind of weird, like, oh, like it does. It's not like a weird system. It's like, oh, that actually, it makes perfect sense. And it lets them be backwards compatible forever. Like, they wouldn't probably be able to do it with PS. Or maybe they even could do it with PS2.
Compatible.
Like, maybe they could do it with PS2 games.
Mm. Yeah, they are DVDs. Or, I mean, it could be forward compatible, too, with PS5 games.
Yeah, like, and imagine being able to put Uncharted 2 in your PS4 mm-hmm. and then playing it on your Vita. Like, there are so many cool things that could. And it's not stuff that it's like, I know this might be impossible, but it really feels like this should be, like, it feels like they should be able to do that. I'm sure the PS4, and by sure, I mean I have no idea, can read a copy of Uncharted 2 to be like, yes, this is a copy of Uncharted 2.
And it's legit.
Because it plays Blu-rays, and those mm-hmm. are Blu-rays. It just can't play the game.
Ashley, what is your...
I mean, I could be predictable. I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan. I'm really into pretty much everything Ubisoft's been doing for the last year, 2 years, 3 years. So I'd be really excited to see. Obviously, they're going to be introducing Unity, but I really want to know what's up with Comet, Assassin's Creed Comet, which they've said nothing about.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Exactly. And I know I've heard predictions it's going to be something for previous gen because they're not going to get to experience Unity.
Putting Unity only on next gen is very ballsy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you're so used to all these other, like, everybody else is just doing cross-gen. They're making the same game on two gens instead of making different games.
Yeah.
Which they've done too, so it's a little strange that they're so quickly going just to, well, I guess it'd be current gen, not next gen. Ha. But
good work.
I got it
this
first.
Gen.
Well, yeah, and Far Cry's doing that too. Ubisoft, I think, does have one of the best press conferences each year. Like, and it's surprising because they only have, like, you know, five or six games to talk about, but they usually have such a diverse collection. I mean, there's always the weird moments of French humor that just kind of gets lost on everybody.
And then they're going to spend a few minutes being like, all right, so we have like an hour. We're going to spend 50 minutes blowing your mind and 10 minutes talking about pets.
Yeah.
Like, that's every year.
Or whenever Aisha Tyler walks out with Eve's Yomo.
Like, 1 year, she's just going to carry him out. Like, it's going to happen.
She should do that this year. Yeah.
Well, piggyback.
Last year, she was wearing crazy heels, though, so I think it
she's
helped
tall.
Her.
Hey. She's a tall woman.
She's tall anyway, yeah.
Hey, it works. If it works for her, she can do it.
Yeah.
So, press conference-wise, anybody excited to see anything else?
Well, Microsoft, I mean, you know.
Oh, EA, yeah. I mean, has a bunch of games that they're going to talk about. So.
Rumor is Battlefront's going to be there,
yeah.
Which I originally predicted was absolutely not going to be true, so I'll be happy to be proven wrong on that front.
On that Battlefront? But I guess in general with the press conferences, I want reveals of 2014 games. Like,
I don't want you to. I don't want you to be like, "Oh, this is a great looking game for 2016." I want to be like, "Surprise! This is coming out in 3 months."
Yeah, I mean, only Nintendo really has done that lately, and even they'll probably reveal like 5 games, 3 of them that will be out this year. But
to be fair, so Call of Duty is coming out this year. We've seen a 2-minute trailer. Mm-hmm. No, like, here's what a level looks like. Assassin's Creed Unity is coming out this year. We've seen a slow pan of a building and then a shot of a guy on a rooftop standing in front of an audience that there's no way it's in-game footage, but they're saying it is, and that makes me so excited. And then there's, like, there's just so many question marks.
Far Cry 4. No footage of that.
And it's even, like, I know that there's the they're like the PS4 has The Last of Us collect or The Last of Us, and if the rumors are correct, Xbox One has the Halo thing. But I can't imagine that. I could be wrong, but I can't imagine they're like, that'll carry us. Like, they no. both probably have one other thing that we don't know about.
I would hope
hopefully. Because you every year, each first party company or each publisher has to have that one game and neither have it announced. It's not Sunset Overdrive.
If it wasn't
Titanfall, it's not Sunset Overdrive.
That's true, but
I think if Microsoft genuinely thought that they needed that game was going to be like, it's like we need that one third party shooter. I bet you they would have been like, hey EA, can you please delay the hell out of Titanfall?
Yeah, I know this fall is like there's Call of Duty, Battlefield, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry. And then also, like, smaller, well, not original games like Evil Within or, well, relatively original Alien. But yeah, it just made me sad that some games that said they were going to be in 2014, and this happens, like, it's not, it's just a state of the industry, but like Batman,
that might have been the shortest time between announcement of game to delay.
Yeah.
It was, like, two months?
I know.
Yeah, definitely disappointing.
But, and did they say, was it early 2015?
I think it's just been 2015.
Okay. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing that game next year at E3 and being like, wow, I hope it comes out.
But hey, Rocksteady has made awesome games so far, so if they need more time, I think I trust them that more time will lead
And it's almost like I know that I'm upset that it's delayed, but I'm excited it's going to have more time. But at the same time, Batman is a like November game. Like, that is a holiday game, so it being delayed until next year means we're not going to be playing it for a year and a half.
Yeah. Christmas 2015.
No. They wouldn't put it out like February. Hey, guys.
No.
What you doing?
That's the Witcher territory.
I'm going to try to. My long shot hope is that Persona 5 will get a trailer or something, but that will not happen. I feel
it
certain
could
of that.
Well, you know why it can't happen? Because it's not coming to current gen.
Yeah.
No one's going to show it.
I guess if Sony, the only reason they would do it is if Sony has the start of their, if they did it last year where they're like, So PlayStation 3 still exists. They talk for like 7 to 10 minutes about the few PlayStation 3 games. And they could do that again this year. And just to fill that space up, they'd be like, and Persona 5. But the only reason I don't think Persona 5 would be there is because like it got revealed in a Japan-only event. Like, and it didn't even get confirmed in America until 3 months later. Like, if they're going to reveal it, it would be in Japan first.
Unless it's also going to be releasing at the same time on the Vita, and Sony is going to use it as a, like, we're talking about the Vita now. Hey, remember Persona 5? It is coming to the PlayStation 3, and you'll be able to play it on the PlayStation 4 via PlayStation Now, which we talked about a few minutes ago. But guess what? Here's a trailer for the game, because it's also coming to the Vita.
Wouldn't that be clever? I don't think they have really much else to announce for the Vita, do they?
That's a lot of dominoes need to fall. No, the Vita.
It's only like, that's what dominoes do. They fall. As long as somebody set them up, it's really hard for them not to.
Well, there was an Amazon France leak that what everybody figured was going to happen, a PS4 Vita bundle,
yep,
is probably going to be announced.
The Vita, I got a lot of shit because I mentioned this on Twitter about like the Vita, because somebody searched Games Radar for like cool stuff on Vita, and it's like, just because like I love the Vita, and the Vita is basically to the PlayStation 4 what the gamepad is to the Wii U to me, where it's like, there's really nothing, like there's, I can't think of it. Is there a single really, really exciting Vita exclusive that we know about?
Oh, that's coming? They're all Japanese RPGs. Like that's kind
yeah.
of
and then
the Japanese RPG system.
Or definitely. The or the
but they're not big name Japanese RPGs.
I mean, it sold well in Japan, so
relatively
it makes
well.
Sense.
I feel like yeah, that's why, and that's why it makes sense for Persona to go to it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, Persona 4 Golden, I think, is one of the. It's got to be in the top like three best selling games on the system.
I'd imagine.
Like, but yeah, the only other. But I think of the Vita
like
games I know about, like, well, no, they don't get Monster Hunter. It's all 3DS,
that's
man.
True.
Like, that'll be there at E3.
Will it?
Yeah.
Probably cool.
They revealed, Capcom revealed their lineup. There's no Atlas appointments this year for me, I don't think. Just that, like, they're having a, on Wednesday, in the middle of the day, they're just having, like, a signing, like, the Persona character artist, Shigenori Soejima. He's going to be signing prints of Teddy at his booth. It sounds pretty awesome, but I'm betting there's going to be a long line. They have a long line there for T-shirts when that happens.
I mean, there's so. Every if you ever give away free T-shirts, there's a long line. You could be like in the middle of like a like a
true.
Desert.
But yeah. The other game, Persona T-shirts, is a really long line.
But maybe I'll just pass by there and just whisper to the.
What are they showing?
I think their big one, their two big ones are the Persona 4 re-release of the fighting game Ultimax, and then the dancing game. Oh, and Persona Q. Persona Q, the Etrian Odyssey game, and then.
It's not really Etrian Odyssey, right? You keep saying it's Persona Etrian Odyssey. With how many games are Japanese crossovers between two brands? Like I actually thought for like a month that it was Persona Cross Etrian Odyssey because of how often you'd said that.
Well, okay, there's no Etrian Odyssey characters in it, but it's made by the Etrian Odyssey team under the Persona team's direction. So it is an Etrian game starring Persona characters.
Okay.
How'd you not get that?
And then there's also the dancing game that's Hatsune Miku game, like Dancing All Night or Up All Night. Dancing All Night, yeah, which is the focus of their like lanyard thing. What's the saying? Who's your teddy, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I like anything with Teddy on it, so I'm cool with that.
You're going to be the only person to keep that badge.
It might be.
But, yeah, anyone have any other things they're excited for? I agree with, because I definitely have that Ubisoft fandom in my heart, and it was reawakened in Watch Dogs, because it's like,
yeah.
I was kind of interested in Watch Dogs, and then I put 35 hours into it over the course of like 4 days, because Ubisoft knows how to make an open world game that will make me never stop playing, even when I'm like, I just want to walk around. I don't know why. It feels like, yeah, I want to take in the sights, and it's like, I'm just going to, in Assassin's Creed, I will just walk up to people, punch somebody, and run away. Like, that's just something I'll do for at least 8 hours of Assassin's Creed.
That'll entertain you for hours at a time. I was super excited when Assassin's Creed 3 came out, and I could pet cats.
Mm-hmm.
That's just pretty much all I did for the next, like, 2 hours. I was, like, running around petting as many animals as I could. I'm like, yes!
I must get an achievement for this.
I use Assassin's Creed, when I started up, it's just climb to the top of every vantage point. Yeah. That's what I go
and
for.
And Far Cry 3 was so much better than I had thought it was going to be. So I have all the faith in the world. The one thing I like that they do really well is they, it feels like they're one development studio. that makes multiple games.
And that like 9,000 employees.
Yeah, oh, yes. But it's like when Assassin's Creed 3 came out, it was like, wow, this game has a lot of problems. And then Far Cry 3 came out, and it was like, wow, Far Cry 3 kind of is what I wanted Assassin's Creed 3 to be. And then when Assassin's Creed 4 came out, it's like, oh, they just took all the stuff from Far Cry 3 that was really good and put it into Assassin's Creed. So it makes me think that, like, they're just building, but without making it, like, the feature. I think they learned from Assassin's Creed 3 that they don't want to just do feature clutter, which is why they cut out so much stuff for 4. But it's like, oh, the crafting system in 3 didn't make sense, but the crafting system in Far Cry made sense. Let's just take it. And I love that approach to development, especially when all of your games are kind of the same anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they can share their engines and things like that and mold it, so it kind of benefits
them.
I
can't wait for the crafting system in that terrorist-focused Rainbow Six Patriot.
Or in The Division. The Division 2.
Your Division's going to have that same crafting system. It's going to be great.
Did you guys see that? I saw this fact last night that not in market share, but in number of employees, Ubisoft is the biggest game maker around right now.
Really?
Yes. They employ 9,200 people.
What about market share? Is that Activision?
I don't know
at this
if they're I would bet it's Activision, but I don't know. I don't know the facts on that one, but I would bet Ubisoft's up there.
Probably. But Activision, between Call of Duty and like World of Warcraft.
And Skylanders.
Yeah.
Where'd you put EA on that scale?
I don't know. They've been kind of moving around, haven't they? Like
Madden still sells what Madden sells. Like,
oh yeah, Madden,
NHL, FIFA.
FIFA sells crazy. Yeah, it's just because it isn't a big deal here. Like FIFA is like one of them, global sales wise, is one of the biggest every year. Like FIFA goes nuts. But this year from EA, it's they got Battlefield.
Titanfall came out already.
They already did Titanfall, and then just Madden and FIFA again.
Like, and The Sims 4.
Oh, that's
right.
Oh,
awesome. Yeah. Sims 4.
Game of the year.
Well, it's no Tomodachi Life.
You haven't talked about that.
You want to talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, real quickly. Yeah, the review went up for Tomodachi Life today, and it's also out. It's a very hard game to describe because it is like I called it a virtual dollhouse, which is really what it is. Like, it's technically kind of a lifestyle sim in that you have this island. You open up this island and your me moves into it, but your me is not you. He calls you your lookalike. He's like, mine always waves at me like, hi, my lookalike, what's up?
And he says it in him like, hi, my lookalike, what's up? Like, it's all voice acted by a robot.
Yeah, it's all like Garmin.
It's great. Everybody speaks the words. It's not like in Animal Crossing where like, meh, 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 meh. It's a virtual dollhouse that you fill with other me's. Like, you can make your friends in it, or you can download QR codes like off the website in an article.
So that's why
Coop
was going around taking pictures of everyone and adding them to his game.
Yeah,
just you,
wasn't
actually.
All
I'm like, he's like, what color are your eyes? I'm like, what?
I did just walk up to your desk and ask you your eye color.
But yeah, anybody else weird. Anybody else who has Tomodachi Life, they can share it locally with friends and just give their Tomodachi Life me to it. You give them different personalities, and then they just kind of go off on their own. Like, you collect, you buy food and buy clothes, and you hand it to them, and their reaction to it starts to define their personality. You get to know this person really likes spaghetti. This person like threw up when I gave him lobster. Well, I actually didn't throw up.
The allergy.
Henry, I only played for like 15 minutes. And almost immediately, I had a breaking news story that Henry had been arrested. With a picture of an actual photograph of two cops taking a man away, except the two cops were like Anthony and Shigeru Miyamoto and Henry. Ooh, shit, I should make that this week's episode image. Oh, you being arrested. It was like, he got arrested for putting hot mustard on people's food without asking.
Yeah, that's what's fun about the game. It's just so many random jokes just appear out of nowhere, mainly through the news. Like, you get these news briefs of like that are just crazy things that happen. Or you two characters who you had no idea even liked each other go like, we want to get married. And then you get them married. Or you like you give them like a skateboard as a hobby gift, and then you'll go to the park and you'll see them skateboarding. They just went there and started skateboarding. And it's just really, it's just really random and fun. It is a full price game, and it's just so light that I can see why people might think like, this isn't worth $35. But
it feels like it could have been an even lighter game, and they could have charged like $10 and it maybe would have been better. It's almost just like, this is the most app, like iPhone game Nintendo has ever made.
Mm-hmm. Just make it with microtransactions. You can buy clothes.
Yeah, I know.
Brilliant. Cha-ching.
They resist my, you know, Nintendo's not into the microtransaction thing. They really hate
unless you're being
really
sold stuff
money.
By a dog.
Well, yeah, they do give you microtransactions with the dog. But yeah, it's just I really like its sense of humor. If you think like the WarioWare games or the Rhythm Heaven games are funny, like if you play those as a Nintendo fan, like we're not as a Nintendo fan. But yeah, like in Mario, like in WarioWare, just for some reason somebody picks their nose and it's just it's a weird joke. You're like, that's really random. And it's the same in this. Like one of the weirdest things is just going into the dreams of a me. And there was the one that was just so strange where it was just two me's were in a car and they were driving in the dark on this road and they were just lost and just driving in circles. And then another one was like this me was sitting at a table and every with like eight other me's in a row and all of them were wearing blonde wigs except for him. And they were all just talking to each other and ignoring him. I was like, this is really weird. Like, what's the message?
And all of the me's are like CM Punk, Frodo.
Yeah. Yeah, I filled mine with celebrities. I did.
It is funny. Fill it like half with friends and half with celebrities. And it's like, oh, by the way, you just married Samus in my game. Just happened.
Yeah, Link and Samus got married. That happened. I put Zelda in there, but he was more interested in Samus.
Scandalous.
Like, yeah, they kind of do what you want or what they want to do. Though if they say like, hey, I want to marry this person. You can't just say, nah, you shouldn't. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess I won't then. Like,
you're the god of this island.
You are the god, yeah. There's also really weird, there was another weird moment of randomness where you just click on them to talk to them. It's all touch-based, by the way, with the stylus. And like when I clicked on Samus once, I was like, hey, Samus, what's up? But then the camera zooms in, and she just has a crab on her shoulder. And I was like, hey, you have a crab on your shoulder. She's like, oh, could you get it off? I was like, okay, touch. Whoop. And then a hand comes on screen and just grabs it off. She's like, ah, oh, thanks. That crab was weird.
I had a really weird situation where I added like a few people in and I went to like the house and my wife's character, who is just looks like my wife except with a beard, is waving at me. And I tap and she goes, hey, do you want to hang out? I want to play a game. And I'm like, sure. And she goes, okay. And she goes like, it's me trivia. And she's like, does Sophia and Christina Aguilera have the same favorite color? And I went like, yes. And it went like, wrong. And she went like, I'm sorry, this didn't work out. And then she handed me a box of tissues. And I'm like, that is the weirdest, like, pseudo-sexual thing that just happened between me and my wife. Like, sorry, I have a headache. Tissue box. It's like, what the is going on?
No, yeah, if you there's mini games in it. The closest things that you could call a game in it are these mini games that if you talk to them, you're like, hey, let's play a game. And the game really is just like, like, what was that game you played as a kid? It was called Memory, where you just had to flip over cards. Yeah. They have that. They have, like pick which card is of these two is a joker. Or they have one that's like, here's a silhouette. Pick a, which me is this? Like, they're just, they're barely games.
Yeah, but
it's part of the weirdness.
And if you go to the site, we have an article up that has QR codes of a bunch of celebrities, and hopefully by the time you listen to this, maybe there might be a few Games Radar employees intermixed in there.
Yeah, I put myself in there. So there are ones that are just the QR codes for a me, and that'll create the me, and then you have to make the personality yourself. But if you scan my me, and also the one of Shaq in there, you will get their full personality in it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I'll hopefully be in there by the end of the day. I need to export mine via QR code because that's what the internet's like in 2014.
So fancy.
Right?
So fancy.
So we need to go do some more E3 planning and then get ready to get on planes and do all that jazz. So thank you for listening. Be sure to let us know in the comments what you're looking forward to at E3, hearing about and et cetera. We may use that to inform what we go see, even though our schedule pretty much doesn't permit us to do anything other than see the stuff Sophia scheduled.
What?
Like, subscribe, do all that stuff, and we'll talk to you on Monday for the first of our three E3 podcasts. Monday, Tuesday, Friday. See you later.